You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of November 7th, 2013. My name is Atta Dizdar, and joining me once again is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, have you adjusted to daylight savings time ending yet?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, an extra hour of sleep, I guess, is always easy to contend with. I'm in Miami, so there's a little bit more sun than I'm used to anyway. It's kind of nice, to be honest. But how are things up your way?
Well, I'm doing well adjusting to daylight savings time ending. As like you, I also enjoy the extra hour of sleep and maybe the extra hour of staying up, maybe editing this podcast, which I will do later when we end our recording of the podcast. But let's get to our Week 10 review of the Turkish Super League. We'll start off with Friday and Saturday results. Friday's only results saw Galatasaray at home beating Konyaspor 2-1. Saturday's results saw Bursaspor losing at home to Fenerbahce 3-2, and Kasımpaşa beating Kayseri Erciyesspor on the road 3-0. I wrote in my format that maybe Galatasaray's Friday jinx over the last two seasons may have been more of a Terim thing, but Didier Drogba and Burak Yılmaz scoring the goals in the 45th and 67th minutes respectively, canceling out a Recep Aydın goal for Konyaspor in the 16th minute. Now, Wesley Sneijder had to be taken out in the 10th minute of the match due to an injury to his hamstring. We'll discuss more about that later on in the podcast. And for Fenerbahce, another last-gasp win, Ferhat Kiraz and Pablo Bataya scoring the goals for Bursaspor there, while Pierre Weibo, Emmanuel Emenike, and Egemen Korkmaz scoring the goals for Fenerbahce. After the match, the Fenerbahce T-Bus had rocks thrown at it, and one of the windows actually got broken. Now, as for the Erciyesspor Kasımpaşa match, Adem Büyük and Sanharib Malki were the goal scorers there, Adem Büyük scoring two goals, and you might want to check out the highlights of his second goal. Nice chest and volley there. Kasımpaşa actually on a four-game winning streak, while Kayseri Erciyesspor's winless streak now hits six games, and their scoreless streak hits 247 minutes. They haven't scored a goal in a while, but you know, looking at these results, you know, Galatasaray, two actually major injuries. You know, Fernando Muslera actually got an injury picked up in that game as well. We'll discuss more about the potential injury problems for Galatasaray later. But going into the derby next week, both Fenerbahce and Galatasaray with, you know, some good wins, you know, even though Konyaspor maybe not as much of a good opponent as compared to Bursaspor. But for Fenerbahce, you know, a last-gasp win, Galatasaray with a nice little comeback, and, well, the woes continue for Erciyesspor as Kasımpaşa continues to be pretty much the surprise of the season.
Yeah, you said it. No, Galatasaray, they, Muslera had a big blunder to give Konyaspor that opening goal, and they worked hard to make that moot in the end, and some good goals from them. You just saw their defense broken down a little bit too easily, I thought, by Konyaspor. But that's been sort of an ongoing problem for them. And then Bursaspor Fenerbahce, that was just fireworks. You know, a lot of late goals in that one. A lot of questionable calls too. I wouldn't say egregious calls, but I'd say like debatable calls. Plenty for the fans to talk about. After Bursaspor Fenerbahce and Kayseri Erciyesspor, they seem like they're really making a name for themselves as kind of the, currently the worst team in the league. But, you know, it's always the case that they can make a couple of adjustments and win a couple games, and suddenly they'll be closer to the middle of the table the way things go these days. But plenty of goals, at least, to see for the first half of the weekend.
Right. And
so that was nice.
And But the one thing about Fenerbahce scoring a goal, you know, in the final few minutes, I'm just thinking, well, you know, you got to play till the final whistle, you know, and that's just my prerogative on that. And, you know, for Bursaspor fans, you know, one of them stoned the Fenerbahce bus at the end, after the match, I should say, and then breaking one of the windows. I think I did tweet out the picture of the window, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to play till the final whistle, and that's what Fenerbahce has been doing, you know, getting these last gaps wins, but it may not be enough maybe for the derby this coming Sunday. Now, as for Kasımpaşa...
Yeah, that's going to be a different kind of challenge for them, you know, but congrats to Fenerbahce. They haven't lost since week one, right. So...
Yeah, and as for Kasımpaşa, you know, we were talking about, you know, they're beating, you know, teams in the lower half of the table, like teams that are, you know, not doing so well, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that you need to see from a champion. You got to beat the teams that you need to beat. And they're doing it right now, and right now they're in second place in the league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when we get to the league standings, you find that they're in second place on, you know, on a four-match win streak. So it's all good news for the Kasımpaşa fans. I'd say they've been sort of one of the surprises so far this season.
Right.
You know, they usually play pretty well, but they've been really holding their own and winning by big margins, too, in some cases. I mean, they had that really big game last week. I think it was against Trabzonspor, you know, the week or a couple of weeks ago. The last four matches, which they've won, they've scored 3, 3, 3, and 4 goals, respectively. So it's been 5 matches since they didn't score 3 goals in a game. Kasımpaşa. So lots of the goals flying in from them. It'll be interesting to see if anyone can stop them. You know, I don't expect it's going to be Gaziantepspor this weekend, but it could be.
All right, so let's move on to Sunday's results. Trabzonspor beats Elazığspor at home 4-0. Çaykur Rizespor and Akhisarbilyaspor play to a 0-0 draw. And Beşiktaş and Karabükspor play to a 0-0 draw as well. The third straight draw for Beşiktaş, and Karabükspor haven't won a match in the league since week 3. You know, the second of 4 matches that Beşiktaş has to play with women and children. Now, this match was actually played at Recep Tayyip Erdoğan Stadium, the home ground of Kasımpaşa. But, you know, there's really nothing much to really talk about there. The match ended the way it started. Same with Rizespor and Akhisarbilyaspor. We're seeing that Akhisar's Jekyll and Hyde form, comparing their road and home performances respectively, continues on. You know, obviously they're a beast at home, but yet not so much on the road. And really, the major news coming out of Sunday was Trabzonspor's 4-0 win. Now, Okan Buruk did make his Elazığspor coaching debut in the league. Well, it didn't really go so well for him. Yusuf Erdoğan, Paulo Henrique, Olcay'dan, and Emre Güral with the goals there. Although, I seem to think in hindsight that if Victor Vitolo scored on that penalty, which was saved by Ono Kubrak in the 55th minute, it may have been a different match. But for Elazığspor, the woes continue. And Fabio Bilica, I guess he's another one of our tools of the week, or at least he's on the list of tools. As his second yellow of the match after the match was over, he had a scuffle with Olcay'dan, and he got heavily penalized by the Turkish Football Federation for his little scuffle with Adin. But the team making the major headlines on a Sunday was Trabzonspor, and definitely gaining momentum going into their European match against Legia Warsaw in Warsaw.
Yeah, you know, they're definitely still on that, or I should say back to that shutout form. Ono Kubrak had just one of the most beautiful penalty saves you see. It was a double save, actually, and it really worked hard to earn that clean sheet. Trabzonspor have 6 clean sheets on the season, and tied with Beşiktaş for the most in that category right now. The difference being that Beşiktaş couldn't seem to score. And I think that's why, even after getting a draw last weekend, find themselves in their worst position in the standings so far this season, which is to say it's not even that bad. But it is the lowest they've been yet. So I think they were definitely expecting more, especially playing an opponent like Karabükspor there. And Rizespor Akhisar, I was really sort of having trouble predicting that one because Rizespor has been kind of struggling lately. Akhisarbelediye, it seems like after you see them play at home, you think nothing can stop them. And then they just, you know, they go to some other city and they can't seem to find that spark. They still have not scored a goal on the road this season, Akhisarbelediyespor. Of course, they're the only team at this point in the season that you can say that about. Basically, we're 10 games in and they still haven't found a road goal after, you know, five road matches. So I guess just not really giving a lot to the traveling fans, although I don't know how many of them made it all the way across the country to Rize last weekend. But yeah, it's just one of those things I'll be watching out for. They've got another road game this weekend, so they're actually going to have to play a second road game in a row, Akhisar Belediye. So maybe they're going to get a goal there, but when we talk about who their opponent is, I'm not so sure.
Right, and I think that when it comes down to Trabzonspor, like you said, Onur Kubrak is being lights out again. I think he did get injured and had to be substituted in the Legia Warsaw match. But for Trabzonspor, they're back to that lights out defense that we've seen in previous weeks. Let's move on to Monday's results then. Antalyaspor and Kayserispor played to a 2-2 draw. Sivasspor on the road beats Gaziantepspor 4-0. And Gençler Birliği wins back-to-back games for the first time this season, beating Eskişehirspor 2-0. I think you had said that the most surprising thing out of Monday's results was Gençler Birliği getting the 2-0 win against Eskişehirspor, because we've seen Eskişehirspor, they've had some recent good form over the last couple weeks or so. However, Gençler Birliği, to their credit, the coaching change came at the right time. Maybe it's still new coach smell, as I like to call it, but Mehmet Özdilek, he's done a pretty decent job so far, as Bogdan Stanku bagged both goals for Gençler Birliği there. As for the Gaziantepspor Sivasspor match, Atif Şeşu and Hakan Arslan with two goals each. And Sivasspor having a pretty good unbeaten streak in the league as well. It's up to five now. And Gaziantepspor losing back-to-back games. They have a three-match winless streak there. Antalyaspor and Kayserispor, it was just more or less Kayserispor goes ahead and Antalyaspor catches up, as Henrique Sereno in the 5th minute and Sefa Yılmaz in the 72nd minute scoring the goals for Kayserispor, while Antalyaspor goals were scored by Emrah Başsan in the 48th and Lamine Diarra in the 87th. Diarra actually missed a penalty for Antalyaspor in the 63rd minute, but really the surprise is Gençler Birliği, like you said, and maybe I might attribute it to the new coach smell term that I made up over the last year or so, but you know, for Gençler Birliği, you know, getting rid of Metin Diyadin and bringing in Mehmet Özdilek seems to have been the shot in the arm that they've needed, because it wasn't looking too good for them. You know, we were talking about their woes, them being last in the league, but now they're kind of climbing back up that table. I believe they are out of the relegation zone. When we get to the standings, we'll talk more about that. But looking at the results from Monday, Sivasspor actually doing very well for themselves with that 4-0 win, actually up to third in the league now. And, well, Antalyaspor and Kayserispor is just really more woes for Kayserispor. And I would think that Robert Prosniecki, that hot seat just got a little bit hotter. And when we see that what happened with Gençler Birliği and, you know, getting a shot in the arm from a new coach, maybe it's around time that Kayserispor starts thinking about getting a new coach for them, because it really isn't looking too well. And, you know, they have the same points as Kayserispor at this point, and, you know, we're already almost a third of the way into the season. So I don't think it's really looking too good for Kayserispor at the moment.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Although, you know, to their credit, getting a couple of goals against Antalyaspor in Antalya is a feat that only one other team has done this season. Antalyaspor before this match had only given up two goals all season at home, and they just gave up two more. So Kayserispor, they must have figured something out there. And for me, they were lucky to get the point. You know, Antalyaspor, you know, like I say, especially at home, is quite an opponent to contend with. So their struggles continue, and they're, you know, in the relegation zone. But that's a big point for them right there, I think. Gaziantepspor getting totally thrashed. They only have two wins on the season, and they came against a couple of really easy teams. Relatively easy teams. I think it was Kayseri and Karabükspor. Yes, I can confirm that. And they're both home games, so it's like, no, they were away to Kayseri. I'm sorry, but still, not the toughest opponents. They've yet to really prove themselves. Sivasspor, I think, is the bigger story out of that, though. Hard to score four goals against any team on the road, no matter who they are. And Gençler Birliği and Eskişehirspor, I mean, I had to go to Twitter to kind of apologize almost, because that Shifo, as they call him, their new coach, Mehmet Özdilek, for Gençler Birliği, really just made me eat my words from last week, because I predicted that, you know, Eskişehirspor were just going to make an absolute meal of Gençlerbirliği, and I went on and on about how underrated Eski are. But, you know, maybe it's new coach smell, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's permanent new coach smell. We'll have to wait and see. But that was just some impressive stuff from Gençlerbirliği. Really happy for them. Obviously now on a two-match win streak after a six-match winless drought. So they, you can't really say after two matches have they found new form, but Eskişehirspor, I mean, like, that's a very respectable team to beat. If you can do that, I think that counts for quite a bit in my book. Gençlerbirliği, they've got another tough task. They're going to play another home match this weekend against Trabzonspor, so that'll be a really interesting one to watch if the light of the derby isn't too blinding.
Right, so before we get to the Week 11 schedule, let's get to the standings in the Turkish Super League after 10 weeks. Fenerbahçe leads the way with 25 points in first place, Kasımpaşa in second with 21. Sivasspor and Galatasaray both have 19 points, but Sivasspor has a better goal difference at this point, so they're in third and Galatasaray is in fourth. And rounding out the top five is Beşiktaş with 18 points. And looking down at the relegation zone, Elazığspor has 7 points in 16th, and Kayserispor and Ergenekspor both have 6 points in 17th and 18th, respectively. Ironically, they both have the same goal differential, but Kayserispor have scored more goals, 9, compared with Ergenekspor's 6. So we said this last week, it wasn't looking too good for the Kayseri teams. But looking up at the top, yeah, the light of the derby is very blinding at this point, but Fenerbahçe is still continuing on, even with some last-minute heroics. But like we said, Kasımpaşa, probably one of the surprises of the season. Sivasspor, another surprise, even though Sivasspor does have that 5-match unbeaten streak that I was talking about earlier. And what really stands out to you, the big three are occupying three of the top five spots, and then you see Trabzonspor in sixth with 17 points, but we're talking about Kasımpaşa. They're beating the teams that they do need to beat in order to contend for the championship, but it almost seems like I want to think, like, when are both Kasımpaşa and Sivasspor going to fade away? Because it almost seems like it's inevitable that the pressure of trying to keep up the form might catch up with them.
Yeah, I mean that is sort of the format that the Turkish Super League tends to take most seasons and pretty much every season. The first thing that stands out to you is anytime you see a team or even a couple of teams, occupying the top five spots that aren't, you know, Fenerbahce, Galatasaray, Beşiktaş, or Trabzonspor, you kind of have to raise your eyebrows 10 games into the season. Like you say, almost a third of the way. So that's, you know, they'll definitely be teams to watch, especially if they can maintain form that way. Fenerbahce with a 4-point cushion there in first place is pretty nice. You see they've won 8 out of their 10 matches. So I think that's very impressive. But remember that Beşiktaş was on a 4-match win streak to start the season before Galatasaray came around. And now Fenerbahce are going to have to run in the gala this weekend, so maybe Galatasaray will be the spoil sport for the other big teams in the league. And when you look at the middle of the table, as it tends to go, not a lot of points separating them, and a win here, a couple of wins in a row or a couple of losses in a row can really sort some of the teams in the middle pretty quickly. But I'm going to have my eye on Gençlerbirliği now. They really earned my respect over the weekend, especially. And, being the only representation from Ankara in the Super League, it's been years and years since I think Ankara only had one team represented in Turkey's top flight. So really hoping Gençlerbirliği can climb the table a little bit more, and, you know, still waiting for Akhisar to get that road goal and maybe get those extra points that they would need to start, you know, fighting for one of those European spots.
Right. And Gençlerbirliği is in 12th with 10 points, 4 points out of 11th. That's occupied by Bursaspor with 14. So let's take a look at the Week 11 schedule then. Friday, the 8th of November, Eskişehirspor will face Akhisarbelispor, and Elazığspor will face Kayseri Ergenekspor. Saturday's matches sees Kasımpaşa hosting Gaziantepspor, Sivasspor hosting Bursaspor, Kayserispor hosting Besiktas, and Karabükspor hosting Rizespor. And Sunday's matches, Gençlerbirliği hosts Trabzonspor, Konyaspor hosts Antalyaspor, and the match of the week, whenever this occurs, Fenerbahçe hosting Galatasaray. So other than the light of the derby, which obviously is the match of the week, pitting first against fourth, what else stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, really, Gençlerbirliği, Trabzonspor, you know, also on Sunday, I think is going to be awesome to see, because these days they're two teams really that are sort of tough to predict. I mean, either one of those sides on a good day, and we know Gençlerbirliği just got done having a really good day at Ondokus Maya Stadium in Ankara last weekend. But either one of those teams on a good day is relatively unstoppable. Can Gençlerbirliği continue form? Will Trabzonspor get some points on the road? That will be one to watch, I think. And, you know, that for me is really a big one. I kind of always have my eye on Rizespor and Eskişehirspor to kind of see if they're going to come up with some points and kind of climb back up and join the top third of the table. And then also, you know, in the case of Kasımpaşa and Sivasspor, I mean, I think Kasımpaşa's and Gaziantepspor won't be that interesting, but, you know, maybe I'll eat my words again. But Sivasspor, Bursaspor, I think will definitely be good to see, because Bursaspor had a lot of success right before they ran into Fenerbahçe, and that was a really close match, about as close as a match can be. So I think Bursaspor are actually a really great team. Or at least a much better team than the standings would currently imply, as they're in 11th place with 14 points. But Sivasspor coming off that really massive, you know, 4-0 win on the road to Gaziantep, hosting Bursaspor on Saturday, I think that'll be my match of Saturday, if you will.
Right, and basically everybody's going to have their eye on Fenerbahce against Galatasaray, but, you know, that's always going to be match of the week no matter what happens. And I think that will do it for this segment of Turkish Football Weekly. Coming up, we'll talk about some European adventures for both Galatasaray and Trabzonspor, and we'll have some news, including the result of Fenerbahce's recent chairman election. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. Let's talk about some European adventures for both Galatasaray and Trabzonspor. We'll start off with the Champions League first. FC Copenhagen at home beats Galatasaray 1-0. And Daniel Bråthen, in the 6th minute, scoring the only goal for Copenhagen. There were a couple of calls that were a bit controversial. Well, maybe not one of the calls I'm about to mention was really all that controversial. Brumo's goal was called back for offside during the first half, but that kind of looked like it was pretty obvious. But there was a handball controversy in the penalty box. It just seemed to me as though that the Copenhagen defender tried to clear the ball, and, you know, his arm was outstretched, but Drogba was right in front of him, came off Drogba's shin, and then hit the arm. But, you know, that's obviously going to be a controversial call, and it was kind of like 50-50 with that. But I did happen to get to see the match, but, you know, you had said, like, a few months ago when the draw happened that you pretty much expected Galatasaray to get the full 6 points from Copenhagen because, well, Copenhagen was pretty bad. I mean, for lack of a better term, they sucked because, you know, they lost their first 3 games in the league, and, you know, obviously they weren't off form, but it seems as though Stanley Solbakken has got the team playing pretty decently. But it seems as though, like, Copenhagen is a really good team at home in terms of the Champions League. And, you know, for Galatasaray, it just seemed as though, like, right at the end of the match, they seemed to just run out of ideas, trying to put in Umut Bulut, taking Simi Kaya out near the tail end of the game, trying to get the away goal to at least get a point out of the deal. But it just seemed as though the Galatasaray just ran out of ideas at the end. And let's not forget, Fernando Muslera was not playing in this game. I'll get to why in the news in a moment. So Eray Işcan, who only makes around 2,500 Turkish lira a month, as a young goalkeeper start in this game, and, you know, he'll be able to tell his kids about that someday. But, you know, for Galatasaray, it just seemed as though there really wasn't a lot in terms of ideas near the end of this game. And for Copenhagen, it's an important win for them. But for Galatasaray, well, let's put it this way. The last two games that they're going to have to play in the group stage of this year's Champions League, they are not going to be very easy tasks.
Right. You know, we had talked about how this group would probably come down to that last game between Gala and Juventus. And I was saying, you know, before this match with Copenhagen, that if they could get the win against Copenhagen, then they wouldn't actually have to worry about that last match, probably. But seeing as they did not get the result, now they're really going to need to perform. It does make the group more interesting. Real Madrid's got 10 points. That's not very interesting. But you've got Galatasaray with 4 and Copenhagen with 4 points as well. And Galatasaray's just got a goal of better difference. And then Juventus has 3 points. So it really could be any one of those three teams, but really, if you can assume that Real Madrid get their wins, then you know then that means Copenhagen's got at least one more loss under you know to look forward to, and if Galatasaray can get that win against Juventus, that critical last game of the group on the 10th of December, then that would give Juventus a loss as well. And Galatasaray win, which would be enough for them to remain in the Champions League. So it can be done. It's not like Galatasaray is down and out now. They're looking pretty good actually. It's gonna come down to that last game really. And you know you've got two teams in Galatasaray and Juventus, which you know are. It's kind of anybody's guess what will happen to them on a normal day, but they tend to step it up when they really need to perform. Both those teams, so that'll be really one to look forward to. But hey, maybe there's some surprises, you know, in the game that they have 3 weeks from now on the 27th. Maybe Galatasaray is, you know, able to get a point from Real Madrid, who can count on advancing to the next round, or maybe you know, maybe Copenhagen and Juventus do us all a favor and get a draw. I mean, you know.
I would assume that Real Madrid is probably going to try and win out, and they'll probably want to try and win against Galatasaray because, you know, if Real win that game, which I think both of us expect they probably will, then they will have won the group, and then, well, you know, obviously they'll be able to take it easy and things like that.
Yeah,
next game.
Definitely. And at this point in the Champions League, you know, you get your club gets more money for every goal you score, for every win you get, so it's... You know, there's definitely some incentive to still win. But, yeah, it's just not going to be that easy road for Galatasaray. I mean, you know, they're 1-1-2 right now, and it's going to be a close race. But if they do survive, then – and I think they would deserve to, especially if they can get a result at home when they host Juventus for that last game.
Right. So let's move on to the Europa League then. Trabzonspor beating Legia Warsaw in Warsaw. 2-0 at the Pepsi Arena. Dosa Jr. scored an own goal in the 71st minute, and Olcan Adin in the 79th minute get the goals for Trabzonspor, as they have not lost a European match with Mustafa Akçay as their manager. Owner Kvrak had to leave the game with pain in his right thigh. He relinquished his spot to Zeki Ivaz in the 53rd minute. Trabzonspor is in first place in Group J with 10 points, and I believe, like the other teams, have... 4, and I know Legia Warsaw is down at the bottom with no points. They actually haven't even scored a goal in the group stage of the Europa League this season. So for Trabzonspor, it's just mostly ho-hum in the European part of their schedule. You know, they're a little bit disappointing in the league. They're finding their form in the league, but when it comes to the European matches, they seem to be on a different level, as we see right here against Legia Warsaw. But then again, Legia Warsaw, yeah, they kind of don't really belong at this level, it seems.
Yeah, the only way Trabzonspor doesn't get to the knockout stages at this point is, you know, if they lose out and Apollon wins out, and, you know, basically you'd really have to doctor the whole group to get it to work out just right. So Trabzonspor, you know, with a big win, their goals didn't come, you know, until later on. I was really impressed with the build-up to their first goal, which, you know, ended up, I guess, being an own goal, but you know, there was a lot of amazing passing, and you know, it wasn't like one of those own goals where the defender goes way out of his way and kind of totally screws it up, or a goalkeeper like trips over the ball. This was, if it wasn't an own goal, it would have probably been a goal sort of situation. So I was really impressed with that. Of course, yeah, Warsaw, they haven't gotten a goal, as you mentioned, yet, so not a big moral victory, I guess, for Trabzonspor, but, you know, at 3-1-0 in the group, and basically if they can just get a draw, you know, the next match they have 3 weeks from today, then they'll be in fine shape. So it's just kind of like, can they maintain form? And, you know, because obviously once they're down to only 32 teams, especially you get a few of those teams coming in from the Champions League too, which could even include Galatasaray at this point. But in any case, it's going to get tougher, and I think they're going to want to keep their focus and not just get relaxed, even though they are looking great and flying high in the group.
Right. I think we could get off the European adventures. So congratulations to Trabzonspor, and for Galatasaray, it's just some more questions to be asked, but those next two games, you know, that's going to be a really tough task.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's move on to the news then. Aziz Yildirim has been reelected as Fenerbahce chairman. So out of 9,380 votes cast, 176 were abrogated. Yildirim got 6,821 votes, while rival candidate Mehmet Ali Aydınlar got 2,383 votes. Injury bug has hit Galatasaray in a bad way in terms of their goalkeeping, as Galatasaray goalkeeper Fernando Muslera is going to be reportedly out for a month due to a broken toe suffered in Galatasaray's match against Konyaspor this past week. Also, Wesley Sneijder suffered a hamstring strain that will leave him questionable as to whether he will play against Fenerbahce in the derby this coming Sunday. Kartalspor's Florence Serenon had surgery this past week to repair a broken elbow. He's scheduled to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. He suffered the injury in Kartalspor's match against Rizespor this past week. He was subbed out of that match in the 33rd minute. Elazığspor defender Fabio Bilica has been suspended 5 matches and fined 13,000 Turkish lira for his scuffle with Trabzonspor's Olcan Din that led to his dismissal at the conclusion of Elazığspor's match against Trabzonspor last week. Some fines also handed out. Bursaspor have been fined a total of 80,000 Turkish lira after their match against Fenerbahce, 30,000 for illegal objects, 40,000 for fan misbehavior, 10,000 due to TV evidence showing the Fenerbahce bus window getting smashed. Fenerbahce have been fined 40,000 Turkish lira for fan misbehavior during the same game. Trabzonspor have been fined a total of 50,000 Turkish lira, 10,000 for fans throwing objects, and 40,000 for general fan misbehavior. So I think you saw what happened with Fabio Bilica. I mean, I think the referee was already reaching for his pocket even before he decided to stick his finger in, you know, Adin's mouth and just basically, you know, I guess make a funny face or something. You know, I don't know what he was doing, you know, that fish hook in the mouth. But 5 matches, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe 3 would have been enough. I mean, if you really wanted to be harsh with it, I mean, you could have given him 4, but 5, yeah, it'll probably be appealed and they'll go down to 4. But Aziz Yildirim getting reelected as chairman, and Galatasaray's injury bug that's kind of hit them maybe at the worst possible time for them. You know, Aziz Yildirim, you know, I said last week that probably Fenerbahce club members would go with the devil that they know rather than the devil they don't know. And I guess I was kind of right in that situation. But Aziz Yildirim getting reelected, well, I don't think really Aydınlar was that major of a candidate to begin with. I really didn't think he was going to be, you know, the guy who would really threaten Aziz's power at Fenerbahce. But we get more fun with Aziz, I guess.
Yeah, you know, that was sort of the big political news, although I was never under the opinion that it would make that much of a difference, but it is, you know, it does make a difference, I suppose, and now at least the matter is settled. A lot of the news articles in English were sort of kept harping on the fact that those two guys seem to hate each other these days, Aziz Yildirim and Mehmet Ali Aydınlar, but good, I hope they make amends at some point, and hope Aziz Yildirim is able to stay out of jail and keep Fenerbahce, you know, in Europe after they serve their ban and that kind of thing.
Well, I did happen to read somewhere that the Prime Minister actually criticized the club for re-electing him. And I'm thinking, why are you getting involved?
He seems to have a lot of opinions about a lot of things lately. Yeah. I was reading something really funny that he was saying.
Is this about the segregation of university housing based on gender?
Oh, yeah, I read that. That was pretty crazy. No, but there was something else. He went to the Angry Birds, to Rovio or whatever. He toured one of their facilities and was like wondering why the birds were angry and thought it was having a bad effect on kids or something. and some of the comments.
Yeah.
Some of the comments like on that article were really funny too, but it was like, you know, I don't know, just worried that the angry birds are adorable and they're angry because like their eggs are being taken. Like, that's not cool. So they.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to bring it back into football, you know, Erdogan was also at the Trabzonspor match they had with Legia Warsaw earlier today as we were recording this. And, you know, that's just one of those things. You know, he's not exactly the most popular around these days.
Well, it seems like in the U.S. anyway, politicians tend to not give their opinion unless they're really solicited, unless they're, you know, it's kind of risky just stepping out there. And I don't know, politics and football, they don't really seem to mix, although in Turkey they seem to constantly be trying to mix them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it seems as though that's the case. I mean, maybe there might have been some political and football mixing before, but I think these days it's starting to get a little more obvious. That's just how it comes off. I mean, it just seems as though, like...
Definitely.
It just seems as though, like, there seems to be a lot of political intermixing with football. That seems as though it's a lot more obvious, but...
Well, that, and we're sort of looking for it these days, too, you know, at the same time. Just what with all the news and things like that. But anyway, talking about Galatasaray, I mean, they, you know, Fernando Muslera is, like, for me, one of the best keepers in the league. Really a catch for Galatasaray. It's a bummer he's going to be out for an entire month and really hopes that Snyder's back, you know, because obviously we saw how much he was missed for most of the Copenhagen match. So, you know, Fenerbahce might count themselves lucky if that's the case, if he's not able to make it back. But... like I pointed out before, Galatasaray, they tend to play better in the derbies than otherwise. So maybe they'll have that going for them. And Bilica, I agree with you. 5 matches is a little bit harsh, but I guess they really try to crack down on this kind of stupidity, especially if you're getting carded after the game is over. That's just or right at the whistle, I guess you could say, although it's not really known what he was saying or doing at the time that sparked that second yellow, but whatever it was, I'm sure it could have waited 10 seconds for everything to be totally done.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff you mentioned doesn't really shock me. A Bursa and Fenerbahce fans not really behaving. It seems to happen a lot, yet it still seems, I don't know, I guess, is it still worth it allowing for away fans at some of these games if you're getting fined like 40,000 liras or for misbehavior and things like that? I mean, I guess it must be.
I don't know. I really don't know about that, you know. And I believe Fernando Muslera has been taken out of Uruguay's squad because they do have that World Cup playoff coming up next week, so... That's kind of a big loss for Uruguay there, but, you know, a broken toe. There have been rumors maybe going around that, you know, they would try and inject some corticosteroids so he could play, but I really doubt it because, you know, for a goalkeeper with a broken toe, he still needs to make some quick decisions and, you know, leaping, and so I don't think Muslera is going to play, which kind of puts the spotlight on Eray Işcan if he plays in this game, depending on who Galatasaray goes with, but I'm thinking it is going to be Eray Işcan. And as for Wesley Snyder, you know, the hamstring strain... I don't know, maybe he'll probably get injected with some corticosteroids, you know, just to dull the pain, and then he'll be sent out there, but, you know, we'll find out on Sunday, and yeah. Bilica, I mean, that's a little bit harsh, though, but that will do it for this week's edition of Turkish Football Weekly. Jeremy, again, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it, as always, Ata.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.